would be a momentary sign or an eternal covenant. You see, they showed up with Jesus. The Greeks came to Philip and said, I don't have the scripture for you. They said, sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip would bring them to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10 and verse 51. I don't settle in too firmly. I'm not going to be long this morning. I know you think that that's impossible, but I'm telling you the Holy Ghost is here, and there are miracles happening in the house. Mark 10 and 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Here's a man that wanted to see Jesus but couldn't see. He just came to Jesus so that he could finally see. And Jesus, next verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, no, that's the first same verse. I'm sorry, I didn't give you time. 52, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Can you imagine being a grown person and the first thing that you ever see in your life is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ standing there as he speaks healing into your body? And your eyes are suddenly opened, and the Lord of glory is standing right in front of you. I'd follow him too. I'd follow him as far as he wanted me to follow. If I was blind, and I could say like the man in John chapter, I think, 9 or 10, I don't know who he was. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, I now see. I'd follow him wherever he wanted me to go if I had that kind of testimony. There's been those throughout. The scripture said that Isaiah saw the Lord, Isaiah 6 and 1. And notice, this is a prophet of God, a great man of God. He has prophesied during the reign of multiple kings. And one of those kings has died. And it would say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. For sake of time, I won't read the remaining scripture, but I'll jump down to verse 8 and show you what seeing the Lord might do for you. This is a prophet of God now. And verse 8 said, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You see, a vision, a fresh vision of God will cause you to say yes to a new call of God, a new arena of call, a new area of calling. More ministry is in your future, and you've got to say yes because you have saw the Lord high and lifted up. If you want to be pushed into your ministry, if you want to be propelled into your ministry, if you want to be catapulted to your place of calling, if you want to be shot by a rocket into your place of calling, then get alone with the Holy Ghost until you see Jesus. And when you see him high and lifted up, you'll no longer be pleased with the things of this world. You can't stay here. You can't just be happy doing and going through a daily routine when you see him high and lifted up. You get a little excited, Pastor. Yes, because I've saw the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. Amen. I've had him speak into my spirit so strongly that if you had been standing in front of me talking, I would have said, I can't hear a word you're saying because God is talking to me right now. I saw the Lord get along with him. But too often, people come to Jesus and all they want is a glimpse. See, you have to understand something about a glimpse from the Lord or of the Lord. A glimpse of Jesus is enough. A glimpse of Jesus is enough to take care of most any need that you and I might have on this planet. Hey man, there's the woman with the issue of blood. You know what that is? That's a cancer raging in her body. She's had it for 10 years. She spent all of her money. And you know what she wants? She just wants a glimpse of him. She wants to get there to touch the hem of his garment. There's no scripture for that. She's making it up as she goes. She just knows in her spirit if she can touch the hem of that garment and she can get a glimpse of him, that faith will rise inside of her and something will come out of him. And so she presses through the crowd. And just as she has imagined in her heart, one glimpse is enough. And she walks away from that healed. Amen. Just a glimpse. There's a woman with a son that's dead. And they're headed the burial procession to the cemetery. And just a glimpse of Jesus. Amen. All I have to do is show up one time, Debbie. He just has to show up and stop the procession and say, ah, stop. And of course, the religious guy over here is watching him. Watch me like you're trying to find me guilty of something. And the dead body is lying there and he's getting, oh, so close, you're dead. He's getting, oh, so close. Dead people don't raise their head back up. Not yet. Yeah, he's filming it now. He's watching to see, because you can't touch a dead body. You're unclean if you do. And suddenly he reaches out and touches that body. Wake up. And he says, see, you're unclean. You touched a dead body. And if I'm Jesus, I just turn to him and say, what dead body? Does he look dead to you? Just a glimpse. Just a one-time encounter is enough to raise the dead. You don't have a bigger problem than that. You've heard me say it over and over and over. You don't have a bigger issue than that in your life than dead. The mother of that boy didn't have a bigger issue. She had a son that was dead, her only son. And you and I don't have a bigger issue than that. And just a glimpse of him is enough. It's enough. But there's something more. There's something more that God would desire this morning. John chapter 6, verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And notice verse 66. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see who walked back? It was not just those that had a one-time glimpse, but it was those that had been walking with him for a while. But he said something kind of difficult for them, and they couldn't get over it. and they turned and walked away. But I want to deal with what Peter said. Next verse. Then said Jesus unto the 12. I mean, he's got a multitude. You talk about how to plant churches and have revival. He's not good at writing the book, because he has a multitude one moment, and he teaches a lesson, and instead of everybody turning toward him from that lesson, everybody but 12 leave. Now, if you can imagine a building 10 times this large and it being packed out, maybe the Bryce Jordan Center, can you imagine 20,000, 15, 17, whatever it'll hold, are in there, and Brother Patterson's having deeper, and he's invited this great man of God to preach, and the great man of God gets up and preaches just a few minutes, and there's a mass stirring of the people, and Brother Patterson's sitting there going, yeah, this is not how it's supposed to be. Because they all get up and walk out except 12. And they're all from our church. And they know they're in trouble if they get up and walk out. And so they stay just because of that. And Brother Patterson says, we got the wrong guy to come to this revival. Would you have said that to Jesus? They all walked away, but watch what they said. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When the gazers and the sightseers are gone, the disciples are still there. And that's the way it will always be. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Have you ever thought about that? Life, which is laughter, happiness, absence of traumatic events, no sickness, unto death, no crying, sadness, bubbling, energy, life. What do you think of when you think of, I'm talking about life. I'm not talking about, well, we've got this life and there's problems in our life. But I'm talking about the essence of life. It's living, it's alive, breathing. Amen. Accomplishment, fulfillment, completeness, peace, calm, tranquil. A newborn baby, a quiet morning after the storm, the light fog hanging on the mountains. If you missed the sunrise this morning, you missed something. You should have been up. It was glorious because it was. The clouds and the fog was hanging around in different spots across the mountains, across these cornfields out here. It was just gorgeously beautiful. That's life. The crops growing in the field, a complete sense of identity, not just a sense, but a knowing of who I am. He said, you have the words of eternal life. Something like that, plus for eternity. What keeps you from leaving? Perhaps you've come to the place that you know he has the words of eternal life, and you just can't leave. What gets us to the place that Jesus offers us more than a glimpse? And for sure, it's his offer. It's his offer. It's going to come from him, Brother Jim, more than a glimpse. Luke chapter 19, familiar story to many. Verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Notice who this man was. He was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was a very important man. He was a very important guy, and he was wealthy. And he sought, verse 3, to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. There was a press, or a lot of people gathered together, and they were so tightly jammed together that you just couldn't get through, especially when they're all this tall and you're this tall. Just couldn't get through there, and they could not make, couldn't, he was pushed back. There was opposition, there was a problem. He couldn't get there, and all he wanted to do was see Jesus. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So he couldn't get right where Jesus was, but he anticipated the route of which Jesus was going to take, and he ran down the road a ways to a place where the people hadn't got so crowded yet. And he got in there to a tree, and he climbed up in that tree so that he would be up above everyone else and he could see Jesus as he came by. He took an effort. He made an effort. Amen. It took energy to go to a higher level in order to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus is not like the others. He wants to see Jesus with a desire that will cause him to climb a tree. Remember, he's rich. This world can't offer him a thing. He's chief among the publicans. He's important in his world. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now get this. There are thousands, it looks like, multitudes of people. Jacob, they've all come to see him. They've lined the streets to get a glimpse of him. And he just walks by them. And something catches his eye. And of course, Jesus, knowing all things, he knew why he was up there. He knew he was short. He knew he couldn't get through the crowd. He knew he had ran ahead. He knew he had climbed that tree. He knew he had put a lot of extra effort into getting to that place, all so that he could see Jesus. Just get a glimpse. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I'm going to your house today. I cannot tell you, there's a lot of difference between a glimpse and him coming to your house. There's a vast difference between just a glimpse and him coming to your dinner table and you being able to sit across the table from him. Brother Carlton Coon was the director of North American Missions for the United Pentecostal Church International. And I had saw him preach before. I had talked to him just a few times here and there, just kind of like a glimpse thing. How are you doing, Brother Coon? Very good. How are you doing, sir? How's Pennsylvania? It's doing well. And then one day, someone told me that he was coming to State College to preach the men's conference. The head of the Apostolic Man group here in Pennsylvania told me that. And I said, really? And I was at General Conference when he told me that. And Brother Coon walked up right after that and said, how are you doing, brother? I said, I'm doing good. I hear you're coming to State College, Pennsylvania next year. He said, I am. I said, Would you stay over and preach for us on Sunday? He said, I'll do that. And so he preached for us in the hotel. And not only did he preach for us Saturday afternoon, he was in our home. We have a picture of him with Tiana. She's a baby, and he's holding Tiana. You know what? I have a connection with that man that is a lot more than I used to have, because always before it was just a glimpse. Always before, it was just, you know, he was passing by, he was walking by me, I'd say hello, and he'd say hello. But now I have a connection with him. Last night, Daniel, my son-in-law, sent me a picture, said, dinner with the boss. And standing at the front of the room in this lodge-looking place where they're at this week in the School of Missions was Bishop Bernard, Brother Bernard, who's General Superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. He's standing there and just he's not in a suit or anything, but I guarantee you Tabitha could walk up to him and say, my dad is Brother Cluster from Pennsylvania, and he wouldn't just know a little bit about me, he would know a lot, because I got to spend 3 hours with him one time in Philadelphia, just walking the streets of downtown Philadelphia around Independence Hall. 3 hours, it was more than a glimpse. It was more than just, hi, how are you doing, sir? It was some time spent. Zacchaeus is about to have some time spent with Jesus. Amen. Extra effort brings extra attention from the Lord. Amen. I want to go to your house, Zacchaeus. You made extra effort to be here. I'm coming and I'm going to reward you for that. Amen. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Notice, he came down in a hurry and he received him joyfully. Now he will get more than just a glimpse. And when they saw it, they murmured, everybody else murmured about it, that he's gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But something happened with Zacchaeus when he got more than a glimpse. He would have never repented with just a glimpse. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That's not a big if there. The tax collectors all did that. They took more money than they should have. Amen. Because there's more to this than a glimpse. Sunday morning is a glimpse. What we felt earlier, come on up, back up here. What we felt earlier was a glimpse. Oh no, that wasn't a glimpse. Ah, if you'd have been in here and listened to him teach about faith, you know, and God speaking to you here in the sanctuary in a church service, and then you walk back out there, and on Monday morning, by noon, you feel like crawling under the rock. You wonder if God really did speak to you. In fact, sometimes you might wonder if it's real hard Monday. Is there a God? Not really, if you really know him, but you know what I mean. It's different. But I tell you still that this is a glimpse. Sunday morning is a glimpse of his glory, of his majesty, of his power and his ability. It's just a glimpse. Oh, if you have a need this morning in that glimpse, just in a passing by, if you think the shadow of one of the apostles passing by could heal somebody, what about the Lord Jesus himself? The centurion said, "Oh, no, you don't need to come to my house. No, I understand authority fully. You don't need to come. Just speak. Just speak and it'll be done, and I know it will be." That wasn't just a glimpse. Somehow that centurion understood him and knew him. This is a glimpse, but he desires so much more than a glimpse. If the only time you ever hear from God is when God is roaring down the aisles of the church, and people are worshiping, and God is moving, and some great speaker named Stone King or Green or somebody is giving you a word from God, can I tell you, your maturity level has not gotten there yet. Some of the greatest things I've ever heard from God in my life have been in my living room at Julianne, Pennsylvania. Amen. I've been down there before and just feeling when I walk down the steps, that's not a glimpse. I don't just have a glimpse of him. And Brother Patterson, I don't just want a glimpse of him. I've invited him into my home. I've asked him and I've said, "Lord, I'll make whatever preparation needed to have you come to my house." When you come along that pathway and I had an opportunity to see you, oh, I bless you, Lord, for putting something inside of me that would want you more than what I've saw a lot of people want him. I don't know why it wasn't me. It had to be him. It had to be the pull of God. It had to be God saying, "Come, come, pull back." Because I would naturally be going like that. You can't outpull God, so don't try. But pulling, and yet God hung on to me and pulled me a little harder. I'm not worthy to be up here. I'm not worthy to be what I am. I'm not worthy of His Spirit presence. I'm not worthy of Him to come to my house. I'm not worthy. I wasn't worthy when He called me. I wasn't worthy of it. But suddenly I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt God like I never felt anything. And He overwhelmed my spirit. And yes, yes, I'm willing to push back. I'm willing to press forward. Why don't we stand this morning? There's a glimpse of Him in the place. Oh, if you've got sickness in your body, if we've already prayed for you, Sister Jenna, just a glimpse of Him's enough. Be it done, healed, done. That's enough. Well, if I could do, you don't have to do anything, just believe Him. But there's something beyond that. There's a Job experience somewhere. You know what Job said? This is a lot more than a glimpse. You don't get this from a glimpse. Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. Though He take everything I own, yet will I praise Him. You don't get that from a glimpse. You get that from knowing Him. And you don't know Him from a glimpse. Amen. It's prayer time in the sanctuary. It's for those that a glimpse has never been enough. The scripture said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in another place it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And another place, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should walk soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. If you refuse to be taught, you will limit how much of Him you ever see. Grace must be able to teach us. And if it can't teach us, we'll limit how much of Him we will see. Praise God. Is anybody hungry to see Him? Not just to see a glimpse. God, but does anybody have the cry of Moses this morning in your heart? Show me Thy glory. We're not talking about a man that knows nothing about God. We're talking about a man that has already led 4 million people out of Egypt. We're talking about a man that has experienced the burning bush. We're talking about a man that saw the plagues of God fall on Egypt and destroy a nation. We're talking about a man that has saw water come out of a rock. We're talking about a man that's gone up on the mountain and had the finger of God in rock, the commandments of the Lord. We're talking about a man that has experienced God already much. You talk about a glimpse. He's had more than a glimpse. And yet there's a cry inside Him. Show me Thy glory, O Lord. Show me Thy glory. There's something inside Him that says, you know what? I don't know what there is, but there's more to this than I've ever saw. I've saw one part of Him, but I'm seeing another part right now, and I don't know what it is, but I know I want it. I know I desire it. Egypt just saw the hand of God in judgment on him, on them. But Israel saw the hand of a loving, tender God that would deliver them from their bondage. Moses saw God go over and above and over and above. And it caused a hunger in Moses to stir up and say, "Oh, show me thy glory, O God. Show me thy glory." I wonder if we could just cry out for his glory right now. God, show us your glory. God, show us your glory.